Ladies and gentlemen, the three knockdown rule is in effect, brought to you by Hustler Casino. I am Steve Kim, joined by my co-host, Evergreen Mario Lopez. Because by the time this airs, you'll be in Chicago. But you know what? We care about our fans. We're giving you episodes.
This is going to be a solid show because we have a solid moniker. Shout out to Smokin' Tim Frazier and
Tino on the edits, and our special in-studio guest, the editor-in-chief of Ring Magazine, Doug Fisher. Let's get started with him. But after this, this podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino, located just 15 minutes from downtown L.A. During the last Monday of the month, if you play No Limit Hold'em, you can win a chance to play on the award-winning live stream show, Hustler Casino Live. The lucky player will be staked $5,000 to play on the live stream. The winning player must stay through the duration of the stream. Stop by and play all your favorite games at Hustler Casino or check them out online at HustlerCasino.com.
Very excited for our guest. We've had him here before, a good friend of ours, the editor of Ring Magazine, Mr. Doug Fisher.
Thank you. Pause. Very nice.
What's up, buddy? That wasn't even a slow 80s clap. That was like a hearty applause.
I was very happy to see you.
I need the energy. Yes.
How you been, Doug?
Good. Busy. You know, I can't believe we're at the end of March already.
Right. We're like the first quarter, right, of boxing?
Yeah.
Your thoughts so far?
It's like springtime. What the hell?
Well, your thoughts so far of what's transpired in the sport?
I wish there was more to be excited about at this point of the year. Like, Usyk versus Fury was supposed to have happened in February. We didn't get it. It's been pushed off until mid-May. Hopefully, they get across the finish line. I'm looking forward to that. I'm still crossing my fingers over Haney and Ryan Garcia sharing the ring. Hopefully, Ryan makes it to the finish line.
Right.
I think he will. I had my doubts a few weeks ago, and now I'm like, I think he's going to make it.
I think he will, too.
I do, you know. So, I am looking forward to that. May's going to be a big month, you know, with Canelo versus Munguia and my man Inoue versus Nery. So there's stuff to look forward to, but I would have thought by now we would have had something that, you know, got us.
We have not had
a huge fight.
What
a
I'd call an anchor event.
Right.
Tent pole event that probably just brings everyone together. Obviously, we had Ngannou Joshua, but again, you know, that was kind of more of a novelty thing.
But it delivered. I will say
it gave us a knockout.
It gave us a knockout and sort of restored some pride in boxing again, because after the Fury and Ngannou debacle, really, people were started questioning the ability of these boxers, or maybe they're not as, and then Joshua made the ship, you know, righted the ship.
Well, you know, I made a comment that if Ngannou is merely competitive with Joshua, then we got to take a look and reevaluate this era's heavyweights.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But
he's troubling both Fury and Joshua, either we got to go back to shitting on English heavyweights, or we just got to look at this heavyweight era. And Joshua, to his credit, not only restored the dignity to boxing, saying, listen, you can't just cross over from any combat sport and share the ring with an elite level heavyweight, but to himself. I think he's got his mojo back. You know,
dude, he really resurrected his career. The way he was able to come back, both from Ruiz and Usyk and the double losses, and being so active, he looks sharper than ever. I think he's right after Fury and Usyk. He's the man. He's got the most momentum, and him being so active, he looked dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, he's arguably has the best resume among active heavyweights, and I think it was always psychological for Joshua. I think physically he's a beast. He's got tools. He's very intelligent, but sometimes he overthinks. Mm-hmm. And I think the activity has kind of helped him get over that anxiety,
you know,
to where he doesn't second guess himself in that ring. And he knows what he is. He's like, he's kind of remembering like, yeah, I'm a big, strong, athletic dude with speed and power.
Right.
Why am I not like trying to hit home runs?
Yeah.
Why am I like bunting here and knocking singles and all like.
Utilize that.
Be a badass. Be a boxer puncher.
A couple years ago, I saw Eddie Hearn at an event. I asked him on camera. I got to find it. I said, do you think Anthony Joshua was hurt by the fact he was such a big draw? You went twice a year with them so quick. And Eddie gave this answer like, no, we couldn't because the event. Now they're doing a lot of fights and he's better off for it. It's almost like activity mattered.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Once in a while, I'm kind of right about this stuff. But I will give Ngannou credit, though. I could tell he's becoming acclimated to boxing, and he's becoming a boxer because he came out with excuses. I don't want to make excuses, but they had me in the locker room really late, and I was only there.
Have you ever in the history of the sport seen a fighter go 0-2 and make so much money, Doug?
I know it's a record, right?
He
probably cleared $50 million, right?
It's got to be a record. I tip my hat to him. God bless him.
Oh, I do too.
So your latest issue of Ring Magazine, you get that online, features the Dynamite Dozen on the cover. Now, what's this all about here?
You were part of the panel. Okay, so it started out
last year. So we got to question the credibility
Shut up a little bit.
It started out. There's, you know what? Steve is just part of the mix, and there's like some great fighters like Lennox Lewis.
Oh, there we go.
Your guy Boom Boom Mancini was on it.
Oh, proud of Youngstown.
Youngstown.
A lot of like action fighters. Fernando Vargas, Shane Mosley, you know. So, yeah, it started, there a writer, a regular contributor to Ring Magazine, is part of the staff, both magazine and website, Anson Wainwright, our man out of Wales, just put together a list of his favorite fighters, the fighters that he thought delivered the most action every time they step in the ring. He did this like last year, and the thing is we kind of held on to it because it's like an evergreen story, but by the end of 2023, guys that he had on the list had gone cold. Like, he had Deontay Wilder on the list. He had Oscar Valdez on the list. He had a few other guys. It's like, you know, this guy was hot like a year ago. Not so much anymore. Let's do this. Let's redo this list. But rather than it being your list or my list, let's get like an aggregate. And let's go to the fighters first. Let's like talk to as many retired fighters, preferably in the Hall of Fame, that were known for delivering action. You know, known for getting knockouts, known for being go-getters, getting out there.
Very smart.
Had that, like, Arturo Gatti-esque spirit. And so he went about doing that. And then we added some insiders, some veterans like Steve, who represented the media.
Mr. Credibility here, Lopez,
Russell Peltz.
That's what you want. You hit a foul ball on that one. To use your baseball analogies.
I have the list right here, and Doug, I want to go over it. But
Bruce Trampler was on there as well.
List I gave you.
Oh, that's the pound for pound
list. The Dynamite Dozen, like Steve was... He pushed Inouye and Zepeda. Most folks pushed Inouye. Terrence Crawford, no surprise. I was surprised at Canelo Alvarez's inclusion. Huh. And it was interesting. Canelo Alvarez wasn't put forth by any of the non-boxers. It was all boxers that were saying, I really enjoy watching Canelo Alvarez fight. Both British, like Barry McGuigan and Ricky Hatton, and American fighters like Shane Mosley and others. So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
I'll put it this way. I liked watching Canelo Alvarez more 5 years ago than I do now.
Agreed.
I do think he has settled down into a stalker mode where he's a counterpuncher and he's loading up with one shot at a time.
Well, there's
and
some
I
tread
liked
on those...
it when he had the combination punching.
Well, there's some tread on his tires, too. He's
Absolutely.
Been fighting a long time, so you got to imagine that.
More than 60 pro fights.
Yeah, a few miles off that fastball. I got to stop with the baseball analogies.
Yeah,
this whole show's turning into it. But I still find him, aside from being the biggest star in the sport, really, I still find him pretty exciting because he does... try to knock you out. I think anybody that comes and tries to knock you out, and he does seem to load up in a lot of those shots, but when he hits him, boy. But yes, a few years ago when he was punching in bunches, it was really exciting. Sort of like when Gennady Golovkin used to go to the body a lot.
Right.
And he would go upstairs, and then he started to slow down.
Exactly.
And he just started relying a lot on his jabs. It's just with time.
Doug, one guy I don't know if I put in there or not, but I still like to watch him fight. And you talk about the cooling off period, how activity matters. Jerron Boots Ennis, to me, when I watch him fight,
yes.
I think, wow, what an exciting...
He made the dozen.
Imaginative fighter, because he's very unorthodox. He switch hits. He does the shift. He's got power. He can evade punches. But again, like, out of sight, out of mind. He has not fought since July. And now we're taping the show on March 22nd.
Dude, it's going to be a year.
And the word is that he's going to fight May 4th on the Canelo undercard.
Almost a year.
Oh, well, that's about...
10 months.
So, again, that's not being active.
That's too much time.
Way too much time.
He's in his prime.
Right. And what did you say about keeping the blade sharp?
It either gets sharpened or
dull.
And
you can't do it just by being in the gym all the time.
No.
In fact... That'll make you stale.
You got to see real bullets.
It'll make you a gym fighter. Now, Mario, you have the Ring Magazine top 10 pound for pound. You do have a particular issue with one guy.
Everybody has an issue with something on that
list. Before we get to the list real quick, because you mentioned the name Deontay Wilder, and at the time we're taping this, there was talk about him fighting, who's the big age, Zhang, I don't want to mispronounce it.
Zhang.
Sign me up for that. I like that.
Yeah, that was that broke as we do this today, and it says they're in serious talks. I like that fight,
I do, too. I would watch with
interest. What are your thoughts on that?
I like it because Zhang he's like an iceberg. He's a glacier. He can't get out of the way.
Right.
And he's a puncher by nature. And so, you know, he'll probably have like 70 pounds on Wilder.
But he's there to be hit.
Right. He's there to be hit. So we'll know if he can take a world-class shot. But I see Zhang trying to impose his size and try to land that power. I think what Joseph Parker did against Wilder, I mean, it was a brilliant game plan. Shout out to Andy Lee. But it wasn't really interesting. Those were 12 monotonous rounds. And I think there was one moment, maybe in the eighth or ninth round, where it looked like Parker had Wilder reeling. Yeah. But he didn't close the show. Mm. And I do think that if Zhang can hurt Wilder, he will go for the kill.
I like that fight a lot, yeah. Kim.
And Wilder can't miss Zhang. So it's not like he's going to be faced with that. Joseph Parker was moving around and being shifty. And Zhang, he's just too big to be,
in the immortal words of Bone Thugs and Harmony, see you at the crossroads. Because it's a crossroads fight.
We're not even drinking tequila, and you busted that one out right now, which is unfortunate.
Talk about the size. I thought Zhang was too heavy at 290.
Yeah, 290 is too big.
I thought it was ponderous. If he stays at 270 right. to 280, I think that's the sweet spot. And the one thing about Deontay Wilder we have not seen, he is like a IndyCar. Not much of a reverse gear. You get him on that back foot, everything seems to fall apart technically.
Mm. Right.
So if Zhang's able to push him back.
Well, and that's what Tyson Fury did in the rematch.
Right, exactly.
And Tyson Fury
also would
grab and hold him and lean on him.
Right.
And that took away, you know, he's got those spindly little spider legs. That took a lot out of him. And that rematch was brilliant from Tyson Fury. And I do think that Zhang should review that fight. Take a page from Fury's book and fight in that manner. Don't back up. Don't give him room. Smother him and just wear him down like that.
And I think we're going to see an angry version, too, especially on the heels of this Joe Parker fight.
Sure.
I think he's going to have a little fire in his belly.
He's got to be mad at himself.
Yeah, he's got to be mad at himself. He's going to have something to prove. So I'm excited about that fight. I hope it comes to fruition. Okay, now, with that said, getting to your ring rankings for your pound-for-pound list. I respect you, Doug.
Again, they're not his list, though. He's part of the panel.
There would be three other Japanese guys in there if that was my list. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Fair
enough.
That would be controversial. Yeah. People would have a problem.
I'm
going to
read the list since people don't have it right here. And this is in the order, okay? We're going to go 10, Jesse Rodriguez, bam. 9, Tank Davis, Gervonta. 8, Errol Spence. Mm. 7, Devin Haney. 6, Dmitry Bivol. 5, Artur Beterbiev. 4, Canelo Alvarez. 3, Alexander Usyk. 2, Inoue. And number 1, Terrence Crawford. I don't have any problem with this list.
Now, in truth, it's the terrific trio.
Correct.
It's Crawford, Inoue, Usyk, and then the rest of the
everybody
guys.
Else.
And correct. That's how I honestly see it.
I agree. They're on their own tier.
Yeah.
However, Errol Spence at number 8.
Yeah.
You know who I'd even put there? Over Errol Spence, Teofimo.
Teofimo. But ask yourself this. Did he look like a pound-for-pound elite-level fighter in his last fight? Is that what
the argument could be made for Errol Spence, too, though?
No, I understand, that's what I'm saying. But who were they in with, Steve?
Listen, what he accomplished, Doug, based on the victory coming off, I get it. I'm just saying, he's
when he's on, but he's a hot and cold fighter.
I know, but I don't argue with that. But he still won, and I still say that victory, even though it wasn't as impressive as the Josh Taylor victory, which was very impressive,
it was.
Should still merit more consideration for number 8 over Errol Spence.
I respect that. But again, ask yourself, does an elite-level boxer, a pound-for-pound caliber fighter, do they struggle with Sandor Martin? Do they lose to George Kambosos?
Mm.
Do they find themselves frustrated and unable to cut the ring off on a Jermaine Ortiz? You have to ask those questions.
These are good points, Mario.
These are solid points. But he also hasn't gotten blasted out the way he did against Terrence Crawford.
Yeah. No, Spence got Crawford, though.
That's his argument.
My argument is, and he dropped. My thing is,
but even when he lost,
does that erase your entire resume?
To the point, same could be said with Teofimo.
He hurt him, but it wasn't a loss.
If we're splitting hairs here, his loss was not as devastating. His loss, he still dropped Kambosos and was still very close, as opposed to he got blitzed by Terrence Crawford.
Listen,
that's all I'm saying.
Let me say this.
By the way, I like Errol Spence.
I do too.
I'm just saying, at the moment, that's the only one I would have take issue with. I would put Teofimo in there. You don't agree, or who would you put in there?
Him or Shakur have a place in my top 10 most likely. But we have to be fair about this. Errol Spence has been pretty high for a very long time. And I kind of agree with Doug that one bad night against elite fighter who might be number one on most people's list shouldn't completely expunge it. But here's the problem I have. Errol Spence, along with other guys, I don't know how you gauge the activity. I know you have rules on activity.
Yeah, we do.
The problem is if you enforced them strictly, you'd have a list of about two guys.
Yeah.
No, that's the problem.
Exactly. The rankings would just be vacant.
Right. Like Jermell Charlo still being the champion at 54.
Yeah.
I vehemently disagree with that, Doug.
Yeah. But he has fought within the last year. Now, what you can
but
question
he defended
is,
the title.
Should, yeah. I think he should. I think the title should be vacant. And we did bring that up, and the panel didn't want to pull the trigger.
Why not?
I have no idea. I mean, my theory, and I hope I'm wrong, is that they get scared, they get nervous when people online on social media come at them like, oh, why'd you do that and all this? And, you know, they're not used to it. Like, Steve and I are just used to fans being jack-offs.
I relish it.
And we're just like, yeah, so what?
I think
what are you
going
to do about it?
Yeah.
That's how I am. And I honestly feel like that's the attitude you have to have. But I do understand that most people aren't like that. And they get wounded. They feel pressure. They feel guilty or whatever. And I don't think it's the right mindset to be on a ratings panel or to be a journalist, period. But I just want to get back real quickly to Errol Spence, because a lot of people have questioned me on this, again, thinking it's my list. If it was my list, no, Spence wouldn't be on there. But I have no problem with Spence being number eight or number nine, like in the bottom or like the bottom third. Right. He was as high as number four, I think. So he dropped. He dropped considerably. And who knows? We don't know if he's done. It looks like he's probably done. He's had a lot of health issues. He doesn't live a Spartan lifestyle. That was a terrific beating that Crawford put on him. But I will just go back in boxing history and say, just because an elite level fighter gets his butt kicked, and I mean absolutely thrashed by a fellow elite, doesn't mean that they're no longer elite.
Absolutely.
And let's go back to 1981. Wilfredo Gomez, a lot of people thought he was pound for pound number one when he went up against Salvador Sanchez. And Sanchez just owned him for eight rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Won every round, dropped him a couple of times, beat him up, stopped him. And you could have said, well, he looks so terrible, he's never going to be the same. But he dropped back down to 122 pounds and continued to defend that WBC championship by knockout. Well, then, and have great fights and beat terrific future Hall of Famers like Lupe Pintor. Yeah. So you never know. Even like, you know, just because.
But again, those guys fought, though.
And here,
they did. That's the difference.
Another example, too, when Tommy Hearns just demolished Roberto Duran.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't mean he was gone.
No, and look at the way he resurrected himself and ended up winning a middleweight title, and he ended up being one of the greats. One more point I'll make just about Teofimo, too. Talk about him being on and off. The times he's on, they've been against some of the best fighters in the world with Loma and Josh Taylor.
Mario. Yeah.
When they had, that's the thing. The times he's on, it's like he fights to his level of
opponent. But you know what the great fighters do? They fight to their level, though.
I agree.
That's part of being an elite fighter, though.
I agree.
Yeah. And you're good against any style.
Yeah. All I agree. All I'm saying is currently, because of the way he got, because of the way he lost, I think matters. That's the only thing. Another thing I have question for with your list right here. For me, if Usyk were to beat Tyson Fury, he jumps to number one.
Oh,
he's been making that argument.
For me. Do you agree or no?
I don't know.
He beat Joshua twice. He beat Fury.
Yeah, undisputed cruiserweight.
Yeah, and cruiserweight and heavyweight. How can you not give it to him?
I think it's how he does. If he like wipes his ass with Fury, then I'm like, you know what?
If he just beats him though, Doug, he beat a dude 8 feet tall, and he's a real he wipes out cruiserweight. He beat Joshua twice, and he just beat Fury. You're not going to give it to him.
It depends on what Nioa Inoue looks like against Lewis Nery.
If Inoue blitzes him,
it's going to be the Japanese superstar.
I think because of the people sleep on Usyk.
I know they do.
Because of what he did in the cruiserweight division and because of the way he beat Joshua twice, and then if he's able to beat Fury, bro.
And he's given up a lot of weight.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, normally,
same weight. He's given up a lot of weight.
Yeah.
You got to put that guy number one. You don't put him number one, Kim?
The fact that he's probably going to give up 45 to
that's
60
what I'm
pounds.
Saying. Boy, that's
and
a variable.
8 inches? By the way, I think I think he will beat Fury.
I agree.
I like him.
Wow,
like him
that's what I'm saying. I think it's a very real possibility. If he does, that to me, he jumps to number one.
Yeah, Doug.
I gotta witness it though.
Doug, other guys
you know what I mean?
That I would put in the back end of my top 10 or start to consider, Junto Nakatani, David Benavidez comes to mind.
Benavidez. I do. But here's the thing: I think Benavidez is the number one super middleweight.
arguably better than Canelo. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they have to fight the fight, and they probably never will fight the fight, unfortunately.
I don't think so.
Canelo is the champion.
Once he goes to 175,
but when I think of, like, the best super middleweights, honestly, I think of David Benavidez and David Morrell. I think of those guys. I have a hard time envisioning a natural super middleweight beating those guys.
All right, well, we'll be back with more. We got to take a break here on the Hustler Casino, brought to you by the 3 Knockdown Rule. We'll be back more with Doug Fisher.
This podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino, located just 15 minutes from downtown L.A. during the last Monday of the month. If you play No Limit Hold'em, you can win a chance to play on the award-winning live streaming show Hustler Casino Live. The lucky player will be staked $5,000 to play on the live stream. The winning player must stay through the duration of the whole stream. Stop by and play all your favorite games at Hustler Casino or check them out online at HustlerCasino.com.
And we're back on the 3 Knockdown Rule, brought to you by Hustler Casino. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get involved with the 3 Knockdown Rule and sponsor our fine program, we still have some slots available. Please reach out to us by emailing us at info@boxbid.io. Once again, that's info@boxbid.io. Boxbid.io is an online platform that is launching soon that helps public figures and professionals in the world of boxing get sponsorships. We are proudly working with boxbid.io. Before we resume the conversation, Doug, you guys have a new Ring Magazine app. Do tell.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, it's available at the App Store and Google Play, and it's just it's a convenient platform to access the magazine. And the current issue is free, so download it, and you can read about the Dynamite Dozen.
There you go.
You could read, you know, previews on upcoming fights like Estrada versus Valle. You could read, like, reviews of fights that we've just talked about, like Josh and Ngannou, and it's like, you know, quality writers.
Now, obviously, the Ring Magazine is one of the staples of this organization. I found it interesting, and people say, who cares about the Ring Magazine, or some of the people on social media?
Well, the fact that you just said that makes it relevant.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't care, if you really didn't care, you wouldn't bring it up.
Well, exactly. All I know is this. Eddie Hearn, I'd like to think he's pretty influential. Before the Sonny Edwards fight against Bam, wasn't he lobbying you publicly to make that a championship bout?
And I respect it. And honestly, I agreed with him. I thought the title should have been on the line.
So why wasn't it?
Because Bam Rodriguez, he had been campaigning at a heavier weight class, the 115-pound division, and then he dropped down to flyweight, and he won a title at flyweight, the vacant WBO belt, but it was against kind of like a mid-level guy, like not a top-tier guy, a second-tier guy, and he didn't look that great in it. I think, you know, he suffered a dislocated jaw or broken jaw, and I think that affected his performance.
Well, yeah.
But his performance, it wasn't enough to put him into the top three. So normally when there's a vacant title, it's filled when number one fights number two. That's automatic. And in some cases, with the panel's blessing, number one versus number three. But Bam Rodriguez was rated number four. Now, what I thought made it controversial, and the problem that I have with that, is that number two was, I don't think it's still the case, but it was Julio Cesar Martinez, and he had been inactive.
Right.
And Artem Dalakian, who also fought Haley's Comet. And they hadn't looked good in their previous bouts, but they were allowed to sit on those rankings. So I think what happened was there was sort of a learning moment for us, is that we have to be vigilant with these rankings. And when just because somebody works their way up to a number two or number three position, or even the top spot, the number one position.
You don't get the squat on it.
Right. If you don't do jack shit for a whole year or 2 years, or you're fighting bums, or you're struggling and not looking good, we need to evaluate your performance, not just look at W's and L's.
So when you guys do the Ring Magazine ratings updates, one of the designations when you drop a guy down for not losing, just put the old Duckfish, hasn't done jack shit. Put it that in bold red letters, all cap letters. Like, hasn't done jack shit.
Honestly, it should be that simple. It really should. This isn't rocket science.
So we take a look at some of the stuff coming up. Ring belt on the line. By the time we talk about this, Estrada Valle will have already taken place. But down the line, Ring Magazine belts on the line. Canelo versus Munguia. Inoue versus Nery. And then Usyk versus Fury.
Wow, all in the month of May.
I love that. That is going to be an awesome month. Do you give Munguia a solid shot here?
I do.
Ooh,
I really do.
So do I.
Why?
He's a volume puncher. That's what I said.
And he can catch. Now, can he catch against Canelo? Canelo can hit.
Well, that's my only concern.
Yeah.
Canelo is so accurate, and he hasn't faced power like that. How he responds is going to tell me what I need to know in the first couple of rounds. But I think of this, probably the same thing you do, Doug. He's young. He's big. He punches in volume. He might be able to outwork him, out-hustle him. Freddie Roach feels very confident.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I crazy or I think he's a live dog?
Yeah, I do too.
Mario, Doug, I think the key is at times, I think the volume punching, the activity, I think he's a better athlete than people think. But sometimes less has to be more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just get away and make Canelo reset his feet and understand dead time. If you're winning the fight, because he's going to lay traps, Canelo. That's what he does. He's going to run you into that one shot.
Right.
But don't get too greedy. If you have a four-punch combination, don't try to make it into a six.
Right.
That's one of the keys in my
view. Yeah, and his feet have to be busy as well.
Correct.
Like, he can't just walk straight forward to Canelo.
And he's an athletic guy, so he can be busy with his feet. Yeah, that's a very interesting fight. Inoue Nery is a great fight, too.
The 2023 Fighter of the Year versus the 2023 winner. The winner of the 2023 Fight of the Year.
That fight we were at with Neri, he fought that Armenian kid.
Azat Hovhannissian. In Pomona. Oh. What a fight.
Pomona,
what a fight.
Man,
that was Ring Magazine's Fight of the Year.
That was a masterpiece he
painted
right there.
So how often do you see that? The Fighter of the Year taking on the guy who won the Fight of the
Year.
And
there's a dynamic. The way Neri behaved in Japan the last time, where he literally got banned for not making weight, the drug test. Yep. And the Japan said, hold on, if you want to face Inoue,
we'll lift the ban.
Yeah, we'll lift the ban.
It's called retribution.
It's called retribution. A little shogun action there. And I get the sense that Inoue has an edge to him, but Inoue is going to be live. He's a tough guy that could bang a little bit. He is a southpaw. I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's not going to be a walk in the park.
No.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If Inoue can blast this guy out, I will be very much impressed.
Right. Exactly.
And I might make the argument to the panel, like, guys, because when are we going to see Crawford again?
That's
getting back to that activity.
Oh. Well, that's another thing.
If we're gonna say, and I get it, Spence lost that fight, but if we're gonna get on Spence's ass for not fighting, we got to be consistent.
Going back to your list for a second, again, splitting hairs. I would actually have put Inoue ahead of Crawford only, and I love using Crawford because of the activity.
Exactly,
it has to matter.
Of course.
It just can't be lip service. We have to reward those who are doing their work.
Crawford's been a once-a-year fighter for several years
right
now.
And some of that you can blame the pandemic. Other times, hey, look, the guy just didn't want to fight. Let's put this in perspective about Inoue. Since Inoue and Crawford had their two big victories in late July.
Yeah, same week.
Right? Think about this. Inoue has not only fought in December, he's going to fight again in May.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and then
he has a plan for the year to fight three times.
He does that. He's Fighter of the Year if he wins every fight.
No, of course he is. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we discussed already the Usyk-Fury fight. Man, May is like James.
May Day.
That's awesome.
May Day.
Yeah, that's saving the sport.
Okay,
right there.
Well, let's bring this up before it gets canceled. But as we are taping on March 22nd, we're going to be releasing this in early April. Right now, Ryan Garcia is still facing Devin Haney. I'll be honest with you. Even before all this, I think Devin Haney's a much better, technically sound fighter. How much of a shot are you giving Ryan Garcia, Doug?
Puncher's chance.
That's
which
it,
means
huh?
he's got to get lucky. Which means Devin has to do something stupid.
Hang a curveball.
And he doesn't do that.
No.
Devin knows what he is. Devin knows who he is in the ring.
Devin,
of all the young guns from 135 to 140, and most of them are moving to 140. So that whole group that includes Ryan and Teofimo and Tank Davis and Shakur Stevenson, Devin has the best head on his shoulders. He really does.
I agree with that. And I think he has the best foundation, and he continues to improve, and I think he looks like a different fighter once he got to 140.
He's focusing on his craft. Less on Correct. Social media, less yep. on, you know, like, he's not getting into trouble like Tank outside of the ring. He seems to be, like, more emotionally sound than definitely Ryan, Teofimo, and maybe even Shakur.
No, I agree with
Shakur
that.
Shakur gets emotional, you know.
I agree with all that.
I'm done with the game.
I'm back.
Guess what, guys?
Oh, my God.
Do you put any weight into the fact that they sparred six times, or pardon me, they competed six times as amateurs?
Sometimes it matters. Sometimes it means
I guess
something.
It does.
I met something with Oscar and Shane.
Yeah.
They met just once, and they were prepubescent.
But then there was Henry Tillman beating Mike Tyson in the Olympic trials, and that went a minute when they went as pro.
Right, because Tyson was definitely more mature as a professional. And here's the thing. Ryan has the physical tools to take Devin out. He's got the height. He's got the reach. He has the speed. He has the power. My problem is that, to me, Ryan is split between his business, which is being a content creator and an influencer. And the influencer is really part of his identity.
Mm-hmm. Like, even when you see him working out, I watched a video of him sprinting up a street. And he looked good. He looked fast and strong. But I noticed he's got his phone in his hand.
And really? Someone's filming him.
Yeah, and someone's... I mean, that's bad enough that it's he's a reality TV production set.
He's the most shiny example of someone being addicted to social media that I think I've ever
100%.
Seen. 100%. First, he said he's not going to do anything until the fight.
That lasted 10
minutes.
And it could
be all boxing. Literally a day. It literally lasted a day.
I think it's the bane of Generation Z.
Mario, I'll never forget Doug Fisher, Beto
Durant.
Yeah,
but Devin Haney's that same generation.
What was that?
Devin Haney's that same generation. You know what?
Hats off to Bill Haney. He raised his son right.
I'll never forget. It was Doug Fisher, Beto Durant, and I for about 4 or 5 years did Ring TV shows at the Belasco Theater with Golden Boy, right? And it was late in 2015, early 16. We're about to shoot. They're lining us up. And then Ryan Garcia's dad came up to us. We didn't really know who they were. I'd seen him one time at a club show in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But he was this kid that was making some waves on social media. And before we got on air, they go, hey, can we get a picture with you guys? Ryan was the nicest, most humble young kid. I'm a big fan of your guy. By the end of that next year, he's complaining to people about the commentary of Beto and Doug when he's and he literally
By the way, what he's complaining about, just pointing out some technical flaws that he has yet to fucking fix.
Right.
Pardon my French. But when somebody says, yo, your chin's in the air,
I said that,
you know, and you're dropping punches, it's like, we're not saying that to disrespect you.
Guys,
you.
Right.
A, you're doing it. We're commentating. It's an observation.
Sure.
B, and I actually said this to him, I want you to get better. I want you to correct these flaws.
And Mario, the father goes on like the YouTube videos. Starts commenting and arguing. And so here's the funniest thing. So you guys were in Canada for the Billy Joe Saunders fight with Lemieux.
David Lemieux.
Yep.
And so Ryan gets his first tough rounds, first 8, but he won. And I remember watching it on my phone at Wildcard. I had just finished working and I thought Beto and Doug were saying this kid's got some experience, but he's got to learn a few things. So the next day, Ryan Garcia actually has a tweet verbatim. I've been informed by the King Rye Army.
Remember them?
Not a militia.
Oh, no.
A King Rye Army Beto and Doug were hating. I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
At that point, King Rye to cringe, right?
Yeah, the cringe Rye.
So he's like Lady Gaga. He's got Gaga monsters.
Yeah, he does.
What do you call them? Little
Swifties.
Monsters?
Or Swifties.
Or Swifties.
Yeah, the Beehive. Oh, the Beehive.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they did come from me.
And do you remember that when him and Golovkin both fought at the War Grounds back-to-back nights?
Yeah.
Okay, so Oscar made a mistake by saying, well, we outdrew Golovkin. Yeah, well, you had 10-cent tickets, okay? It's a little different. I heard that the momager, and I've heard this from people inside the building at Golden Boy, was like harassing them over the ticket sales and what was our cut that we're going to do forensic. And then they're like, oh, my God, we've got a monster. Like, they couldn't control it. Like, they built the monster like Frankenstein. And then it turned on him. And I don't think they've ever had control of that situation, Mario.
Well, I don't think we've ever seen...
I don't think anyone does. Including the trainers, which is, to me, is the key problem.
Yeah, but I don't think we've ever seen a fighter like this before. What I mean by that is someone raised in this generation, like you said, with the power of social media sort of behind them. It gives them this false sense of reality, false sense of worth.
Yeah.
And they're sort of riding on that. To take them to the next level, use it at the negotiating table. And so promoters are like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
We've never seen anything
This is, it's new.
It's new.
A lot of things that Ryan has exhibited over the past 3 to 4 weeks, it's just part of boxing. Prima donnas, right? Unprofessional behavior, conspiracy theories, like religious fanaticism.
Well, that's pretty. I've never seen like
not to this level. He went Alex Jones.
No, he did all those things you said.
But
he did all those things you said.
No, but I know he did. He did. But Mario,
not one of them.
But Mario, had social media been around when Mike Tyson was coming up, we'd be privy to a lot of crazy stuff.
It might be worse.
It might, you know, or even our guy Oscar.
Right.
You know
both
what I mean?
Of those guys, but both of those guys had accomplished a lot.
No, not only that, they would do crazy stuff between fights and still get in that ring.
That's exactly.
You guys tell that story where you thought he was out of
a fight because of an ingrown hair and you guys go to Tijuana and he comes back. No, you're fighting. Okay, he does it.
Yeah.
But that's a huge difference.
How about
the story before he fights Shane Mosley the first time? And he knows how dangerous Mosley is.
I just made weight. Let me go eat like, 30 oysters. Oh, I don't feel so good in my stomach. It's like... social media is around. Maybe he puts that out there, right?
Hey, but
like,
guys,
I don't know.
You know what? But Tyson and Oscar aren't doing. They're not pulling out for being sad.
They're not pulling. No, they got no.
Well, that's
exactly.
A Tim Frazier line there.
No, that's what I'm saying. And Tyson, you could Oscar. I mean, you could argue he was clinically bipolar. Like, he went from extreme to extreme. Right. He was an extreme dude and dangerous, really. Still got there in the ring, and he did enough into the in the ring, as did Oscar. And this is what it boils down to. And this is what I need to see from Generation Z. I don't care how crazy they are outside of the ring. It can't just be a soap opera outside the ring. You got to produce drama in the ropes. It's like what made the Four Kings legends is not just the fact that they fought each other in this nine-bout round robin from 1980 to 1989. It's that more often than not, those fights were entertaining.
Absolutely.
They gave us something. And these young Gen Z, I commend Ryan to a degree for making the fight with Davis, making this fight
correct
with Haney.
I've done that. I said that. Because
he really is. He is the star, so he has to be the one to agree to it.
Let's put it this way.
People want to fight
him. The last 3 weeks, including the two Evergreen shows, we've brought up Ryan Garcia. We have a weekly segment now.
Right.
I mean, so in a way,
Ryan Watch.
No, it is. And I get it. And maybe this is a Gen Z way of promoting the fight. And okay, that's fine. But it doesn't mean anything unless he gets into the ring goes the distance.
And delivers.
Yeah, if he gets shut out over 12
it's
rounds
over.
And is bewildered
that's
and befuddled.
My next question to you.
Then I'm going to be apathetic about his career going forward. And really, I'm not picking on Ryan. He just stands out the most, you know, because of his personality and the
Mario.
Online shenanigans. But all these guys, you got to make good freaking fights.
You got to make it into the ring. And even like, you mentioned Roberto Durant. Dude, that guy was banging hookers with coke and doing a whole thing.
Out of control.
Out of control,
fights.
50 pounds overweight. Yeah. Before. Got into the ring, though. Yep. Still made it into the ring.
More often than not, he was entertaining.
Exactly.
So with that said, as we wrap it up here, I want to dovetail these two questions. I have a theory that post-Canelo, we're in trouble. We don't have a guy that you literally say is the face of boxing, and every time he fights, he's going to do close to a million pay-per-view buys. So who
we don't have an American.
Okay, and then
that's what you mean.
Which young boxers are we excited about?
You know, we posed this question to Jim Lampley a couple weeks ago. You know who
I heard?
Said?
Yeah, Benavidez. If he goes up to heavyweight, which I'm like,
no, that was his dream.
Yeah,
but can he?
Because cruiserweights will put him in his place.
Do you
I think.
Put Benavidez? Can you put Benavidez on the same tier as Bivol? Well, I guess we'll find out when he fights soon enough. But with Bivol and Archer Beterbiev, do you give him a chance against
I think that's what I think he needs.
Then you
to
know
give
what?
Up, I think he needs to give up the Canelo dream and target the winner.
He's a lot
of better
younger,
BF
Mario.
Well,
those
if
guys.
He beats those guys, dude, then that's star making. Then I think answer your question. Then he's a star, bro.
Mario. Let's go back to the Ring Magazine pound for pound list. In the top five, those two light heavyweights.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but Bivol and Beterbiev are number four and number five. So the winner of that fight is going to be up there. At least number three. So as the young gun, okay, take care of business versus the nail. Acclimate yourself at fighting at 175. And I think he should be stronger.
Yeah, he's
I think it's a more
kid.
Natural weight
so
class, right?
He's a big kid. I don't think you lose much speed.
Target that winner. Because here's the deal. Father Time is going to catch up with Beterbiev sooner or later.
One
okay?
would assume.
Probably sooner, right? If Bivol beats Beterbiev, it's going to be a tough fight. If he can take Beterbiev the distance, and that's what Bivol does, right? And outpoint him. I think Beterbiev is going to take a chunk out of him. He's going to be prime and ready for a young guy
right.
to push him off
he'll
that cliff.
He'll be softened.
Yeah, he'll be softened. Of course he'll be softened.
Yeah.
Hey, Beterbiev is a meat tenderizer.
Oh, dude, no. That
guy got
one
hammers,
of my
right?
I
so,
told
so that's
I like
what
him
I would
fight,
do. So
way.
I'll
like
say that. David Benavidez, the potential
right,
is there,
so,
but he's got to
right,
fight
so
often.
Those are established guys. Here are the two prospects that I really like, because I think they have the right stuff psychologically and mentally. One of our favorite guys that we had on the show about a month ago, Bruce Carrington.
Yeah.
When I look at Bruce, and I've talked to him privately, and when I hear him do interviews,
he's mature.
I said that's a guy that could have fit in with the 80s and 90s.
I was very impressed by his maturity and what an articulate
he's got a head on his
guy.
Shoulder. You talk to people at Top Rank, they're like, we like Bruce.
I really
he's
like
just
him.
A good young man who can really fight, and he's overcome his circumstances and his surroundings, and he can fight.
He's in the right place at the right time. So he's making his name at featherweight. Top Rank promotes a bunch of featherweight title holders. They've got Luis Alberto Lopez, the IBF title
Rafa
holder.
Rafa Espinosa.
They got Rafa Espinosa, or at least a relationship with the people with Rafa Espinosa. They've got Ruben Villa, the four.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of folks. So he can knock these guys off. Well, we'll see if he can, because these guys are not easy. But he can get a belt or two and be... You know, he can be in position for when Inouye steps up to 126.
Oh, and that's the fight.
And then the spotlight of the world will be on him.
And two other guys that I like that I think have it in different ways. Emiliano Vargas and Abdullah Mason.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Yes, as far as young guys, I do think Emiliano could be someone special too.
But this is the problem I have. See, one thing about Canelo, and I'm not giving him a pass for this whole Benavidez thing, but I think he's earned the right to a certain degree to say, hey, I want to do the Mayweather now.
He is doing the Mayweather.
By the time he gets done with this career, he'll have over 65 fights. These guys today, and I'm talking about a guy like Shakur Stevenson, who I'm very high on talent-wise.
Yeah.
He thinks it's okay now with less than 20-some-odd fights to just fight twice a year all the time. It's not. You have not. Look, say what you want about Mayweather. When he was an early champion, he fought three times a year, a couple times. Miguel Cotto did it. De La Hoya did it.
The thing that surprises me is, don't you want to make money? You only get paid when you fight.
They never want to go backwards, though. They never want, like, if you're making $3 million for this fight, and let's say
you don't
want to
make $1 million if you could squeeze one in?
Even if you can face a Steve Kim.
That's what I'm saying.
Most of the times, they're not allowed to, or the manager says you're hurting our market value.
True. Oh, no. See, that's foolish thinking.
Right.
That's foolish thinking. And I think you're hurting your brand by having that attitude. Really quick, on the last Canelo point, my last question for you. The reason I feel and this is a conspiracy, the reason I think he's actively pursuing Benavidez right now, because I think he's sort of waiting for Crawford.
He won't get any credit if he beats Crawford.
I think he's still
maybe he's talking about a jump from 147 to 168.
Right. I think if Crawford ends up fighting at 160,
right,
looks impressive, then I think it'll start to you know, the buzz will keep going, and he's right now the pound for pound one on many lists. I think economically, I think it might even do better. Do you give him a pass if he ends up fighting Crawford? Crawford's the one calling the fight
by
the way.
With it. Listen,
he's not calling Crawford. Crawford's calling him out.
There are worse fights.
If he were to fight Crawford, I forgive him for not facing Benavidez.
I'm not mad at Canelo. I mean, the fight I want to see him fight is Benavidez.
I do believe
he's pulling a Mayweather, though. I do believe he's doing what Mayweather did when Mayweather looked at Antonio Margarito.
Correct.
He said that guy is tall, he's rangy, he has a cinder block for a chin, and it's hard pressure, and he's a volume puncher.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to outbox. If you can't hurt the dude, what are you going to do? He's going to smother you, and he's going to outwork you, and he's going to outpoint you that way.
But
he just understands the matchmaking.
I agree.
But here's the thing. Canelo is fighting Munguia, who is like a top five super middleweight, and that's going to be a fun fight. And if he fights Terrence Crawford down the line, of course.
Mario,
Crawford is a future Hall of Famer just like Canelo is.
That's what I'm saying. I give him a pass. If he ends up fighting Crawford, I'm like, okay.
Mario,
I'll get it.
I think the Crawford team led by BOMAC has said that's fake news. It's not going to happen, the Eubank fight. But keep this in mind. With his WBO super champ status from 47, he becomes the immediate mandatory for Tim Tszyu, should Tim Tszyu win next week. And I think he will. I think he will overcome Fundura. You make Tim Tszyu against Crawford, one of my top five fights of the year. I would love to see that fight. I don't know who pays for it. I don't know the finances. Make that fight,
interested. It's meaningful if Crawford goes from the welterweight champion to facing the number one rated, number one rated junior middleweight, who, if he beats Fundora, he will not only have his WBO belt, but he'll have the WBC belt.
Right.
So Crawford's collecting a couple belts at that higher weight class.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Doug, great to have you back. So let everyone know, how can you subscribe to Ring Magazine?
Just download the app. Like I said, the current issue is free. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, download it, read it. It's great. Or go to ringtv.com. Click on View the Current Issue, or click on the top menu where it says Digital Magazine, or click on where it says Subscribe.
And the latest issue talks about the Dynamite Dozen. Before we get out of here, could you let Mario know, I was on the record, I had Manny Pacquiao over Oscar De La Hoya.
That is true. That is true.
Mabuhay.
I'll bring it. Next time I'm in here, I'll bring that
Mabuhay
magazine.
I have to see proof.
And I had Barrera over Hamed.
Hey, that's the beautiful thing about a print magazine. We could bring it in there. Yeah. Hard copy.
Exactly.
I can
say, ha-ha.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it. We're going to take one more week off. So we're only going to miss 1 week here. And Mario, before you take off to Chicago, have fun out there in the Windy City.
Appreciate it. It's still cold out there.
It's still very cold. Do not bring the shorts and flip-flops. Doug, you're always welcome. Open door. We'll have you back in a few months. So we want to thank everyone that made this show possible on behalf of the three Knockdown Rule on Hustler Casino, Mario Lopez, Smokin' Tim Frazier, and Tino on the edits. We'll see you in a couple weeks.